From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 25th day of September 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kirk Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist from the U of I, will join us to discuss this Friday's upcoming quarterly grain stocks report. And then as we finish out our time together, we'll take a look not only at the weather forecast with Mark Russo from Risk Pulse, but also at the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. And we'll do all of that on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal. Hey, Kurt, thanks for being with us for the day.
Well, you're quite welcome, Todd. Glad to be here.
Let's start not with the soybeans. We'll get to them in just a moment. But with the cattle on feed numbers released Friday afternoon, it looked like that was a fairly bearish report, and apparently the trade took it that way.
Yeah, usually it's a cattle on feed report, but they took it to hard and open lower and finished lower. Most contracts traded limit down at some point during the trading session. Cattle on feed was 103.6% of last year. The trade, I guess, was about 104. That was the upper end. But the placement number, it was up over 4.4% and as much as 12% in some different weight categories. So we're going to have ample supplies of beef here as we move forward. The key will be, you know, if those weight differentials stay spread out as they are. But we feel the market's searching for a late summer, early fall low, as we view overall demand still robust, not only here in the U.S., but worldwide, Todd.
So that should have the cattle on feed numbers actually should have given some support to the corn market for the day. That and anything else that you saw that managed to hold corn as they were facing pretty good losses in the beans.
Yeah, ample livestock numbers in general is the key here as we move forward. Even many years out and through here, we believe true feed usage in general is going to be the catalyst to keep the market supportive longer term. Saw some unwinding of the spread. If you've been watching the particular commodities work sync hand-in-hand, in other words, they've been buying beans, selling corn, buying beans, selling wheat on the spread. That spread was reversed. Corn was able to squeak out a half to quarter cent higher. Beans down 13, and the wheat market was up about 4.5 cents. Fundamentally, we're seeing some very active harvest progress here as the weather in the eastern belt is relatively warm and dry. We're expecting corn harvest to be about 14% complete versus 7% last week. Bean harvest 11% versus 4% last week. The conditions in general are expected to be about just unchanged. Corn 60% good to excellent versus 61% last week. Beans 59% versus 59% last week there. We are seeing some weather concerns for world wheat. Hopefully have problems elsewhere than here in the U.S., but Australia is turning on the dry side. Eastern Ukraine and Russia is experiencing some dry conditions. Also on the world weather note, Brazil particularly is expected to start seeing some shower activity here Friday and the next week, as they start to move from their dry season to a little bit more of a wetter pattern. But with harvest activity, full swing, a little wetter forecast Brazil, that put pressure on the bean complex as they sort of correct the overbought status that we saw from the last couple weeks move up.
What are you hearing about early yields as producers were able, I think, really to get started Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in the field?
Overall, bean yields phenomenal. I mean, we're hearing some 80, 85 bushels, but for the most part, 65 to 70 as a whole. Some guys in central southern Iowa, 30 to 40 bushels. They experienced some really warm, dry weather, did not catch rain at all. And there's some spots here in the eastern belt where they just completely got shortchanged a little bit on the lower end. But overall, bean yields are strong, surprisingly strong. Corn, for the most part, better than expected, but I believe expectations were quite low. You know, continues to be highly variable, anywhere from 95 to 280 bushels. Corn seems to still be relatively wet. Most of the focus seems to be on bean activity right now. So for the most part, I'd say the bean yield as a nation is going to remain somewhat strong. Corn still debatable.
One last item. Grain stocks report is due out Friday this week at 11 a.m. in the morning. Any indication from the trade as to what they expect yet?
Well, that's a good question. We're wrapping up this old crop. It could be adjusted down the road, but the trade's looking for corn stocks to be about 2, 3, 4, 6. That's about 4 million bushel decline. Bean stocks estimates about 339 million bushels. That's about 6 million bushels less. So probably not a main feature. It's evident we've got plenty of stocks around, and we have plenty of supply to work through here as we move into this winter with harvest activity picking up, adding to those piles.
Hey, thanks so much. Appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Very good.
That, of course, Kurt Kimmel. He is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, just a couple of quick items. The first one on farmer-friendly tax reform. The tax system should better appreciate the distinctive financial challenges farmers face, says the Farm Bureau. The Farm Bureau ultimately would like a tax system that helps success, savings, investment, and entrepreneurship for all farm and ranch businesses. The Farm Bureau favors cost recovery tools like business interest expensing, cash accounting, Section 1031 like-kind exchange and deductions for local and state taxes. What they warned against were the estate tax repeal, the continuation of unlimited stepped-up basis, and the reduction of capital gains tax rates. And they'd like to see a capital gains tax exclusion for land that remains in production. Tax reform plans, they say, that fail to factor in the impact of loss deductions for all business entities and for all rate brackets could result in a tax increase for agriculture. And on that note, the National Rural Electric Cooperative Association, which represents the more than 900 utilities in rural areas across the country, outlined its priorities for the 2018 Farm Bill in a letter last week to leaders of the House and Senate Ag Committees. The association's top issue is ensuring that the USDA continues to provide loans and grants to electric co-ops through its rural utility service so they can invest in smart grid technology, broadband, and energy-efficient projects. The NRECA also backs an economic development program that allows utilities to pass federal loans to local businesses to help pay for ventures that will create jobs, including building libraries and renovating hospitals. The association said the funding system for that program has been tapped to pay for other programs and is encouraging lawmakers to secure it in the next Farm Bill. And that's a quick look at today's Ag News. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. This Friday, the United States Department of Agriculture will update its quarterly grain stocks reports. It will be the last report for the 2016-17 season. Todd Hubbs has penned an article for the Farm Doc Daily website. You can see that at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu, and suggests that corn prices are unlikely to find support from the September 1 stocks report. Tell me why you think that's the case.
Well, I went through and did some calculations. We've had a lot of data in already on the fourth quarter for 16-17. And you can read the article. I sort of did some calculations. And the big unknown, as always, is feed and residual. But my calculations, I had the September 1st stocks at about 2.345 billion bushels, which is 5 million lower than what the USDA is currently projecting. But it's in the range. It's hard to say what feed and residual is going to actually do in the fourth quarter. It's a tough one to forecast. I've got it relatively high because I think the livestock numbers have been building over the summer, and I think the residual I think the USDA is going to come pretty close to their ending stocks estimate. it may be off 10 to 15 million bushels.
Yeah, for those who aren't quite clear about this, each and every month, the United States Department of Agriculture releases a report called the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate, and they estimate for corn, soybeans, wheat, other crops, but for corn, what they think will be left in effect in the bin at the end of the year. So this would be the end of the year for last year's corn harvest. And from your calculations, it appears that their current projection is pretty close.
I think it's going to be pretty close. It really does depend on feed and residual. So, you know, these corn prices we've been seeing, where we've been sort of bound in a range since the September 12th USDA reports, I don't think the market's been looking for something to make corn prices move, to strengthen, and this report's not going to be it, in my opinion. And we're still down to, like, what's corn production going to be this year? That may be where the strength comes from, or we need some kind of new form of demand, maybe in the export markets. But thus far in the 17-18 marketing year, export inspections haven't been strong. They've been well behind last year's numbers. So in the short term, there's really no news to sort of strengthen the corn market. While we've seen some fireworks in the soybean market and it's maybe trying to drag corn up a little bit, it's just not there. The higher than expected corn production, along with the huge ending stocks numbers, really putting downward pressure.
You mentioned that corn exports have not been strong. Is that compared to last year or just the 5-year run?
It's to last year. It's well behind last year's pace, but we have to remember last year we had a drought in South America and we picked up a lot of corn exports. Having said that, I don't think it should be that weak right now. I don't know. We're just not seeing the export numbers at the level I'd like to see for corn right now. I think it's going to pick up as we move through the harvest, especially if we see prices weaken even further. But we're not seeing the export demand like we are for soybeans right now. So, you know, as we move through this marketing year, I still have hopes for corn prices, but there's a lot of negative information out there right now.
So you turned us forward into the new marketing year. You have hopes for both feed and residual number and the export figures?
I think feed and residual number will be higher this year. I've got it right now 25 million bushels higher than what USDA's current projection is. We've seen across all the livestock sector, hogs, cattle, broilers. I mean, we've been building all year. The livestock numbers are coming up. Now, how much of that, you know, how much corn is going to be fed to these animals? The USDA has, in the 16-17 marketing year, backed off the feed and residual numbers about 250 million bushels from their very initial forecast on it. So while we've seen the livestock numbers build, the feed numbers haven't been there. I think this year maybe we'll see those feed numbers sort of resurface. Export numbers, I don't have the export level for 17-18 at the level that we saw this year, but I still think they're going to be pretty strong, especially based on the prices we're seeing as we move through the marketing year. And in particular, I think because we're seeing issues with the South American planting and talk about the second crop corn maybe getting in late and issues with corn planting in general down there, I think there's a good chance we'll see the exports be pretty strong this year for corn, but nothing like we saw in 16-17. Maybe, I hope so, but we definitely need some demand drivers to show up for the corn market to bump those prices.
Barring some change either in the grain stocks report or the October WASD, you expect basis levels for corn to be weaker than average this fall?
They are weaker than average right now. They're very weak. I mean, depending on where you're looking at in Illinois, there's a wide range. You know, if you're on the river or you're out in the middle of nowhere, but the numbers are weak. And I think in general, despite what we might see with the stocks reports or the production report, we're going to see weaker than normal basis in corn.
Soybean exports have been strong. You mentioned that. Theoretically, I suppose, the infrastructure is really handles one crop or the other at a time. Either they're loading soybean vessels or they're loading corn vessels at New Orleans, at least I've been told, for the export market. Generally, they load soybean vessels through the fall. Does this mean that there should be a better opportunity, and does the carry show that in the market for storing your corn and then selling later?
There is a market for storing corn this year. The carry is there, but only if, from my calculations, only if you're looking at on-farm storage. There's really not much return at all to doing commercial storage in corn, which is typically the case. So if you're thinking about doing commercial storage, I would encourage people to really do the work on it. When you think about storage cost, I've seen everything from 19 cents into January, 5 cents a month, and you're shrinking it, shrinkage issues with corn. So really pencil it out, because the kind of work I've done, especially here in Illinois, the commercial storage there's no return. Now, on-farm storage, there is, if you want to play the carry. I think there's a lot of opportunity there, especially as we move through the early part of next year.
Thanks so much.
Yes, Todd.
That, of course, is Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Monday afternoon. Mark Russo is now here. He's with Risk Pulse out of Chicago. Hi, Mark. Thanks for being with us today.
Glad to be here, Todd.
Well, tell me about the weather forecast for producers over the weekend in our county. They really started to move, getting into the fields to combine soybeans.
Yeah, certainly here, the highlight, not only with dry weather, has been just the record-setting heat that we're seeing for these first few days of fall, more like summer type, heart of summer weather versus the first few days of fall-like weather. And we're going to continue to be in this warm temperature bias over the next couple of weeks. Now, this record heat will continue for another couple of days, with then some moderation in the latter part of this week. But temperatures look to rebound again and be above normal, although they don't look to be as extreme as what we're seeing right now. Now, even with the cool down in temperatures, we're not seeing much in the way of any significant rainfall, at least here across Illinois. There's more significant rainfall further to the west in areas such as the plains, even the far western Midwest in Iowa and Nebraska looks to receive more significant rain activity. But here across Illinois, it's a distinct drier than normal pattern with barely little of any rain this week and very little of it next week as well.
Okay. In the western Corn Belt, are we talking about parts of Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota? If so, when, for how long, what kind of duration are we looking at? And enough to really slow them down?
Yeah, we don't see it really slowing down harvest progress. Most of the rain activity is from now basically through tomorrow and into Wednesday. Totals look to be generally on the order of half an inch upwards to about an inch and a half. So we're not seeing any tremendous rainfall. One area that will see a bit heavier rainfall will be portions of the southern plains, especially in areas of West Texas. It's more of a cotton issue versus anything else. And in some cases, such as Kansas, where rainfall is needed to improve soil moisture for winter wheat planting, these rains are extremely beneficial.
Anything from South America this week that we should be updated on? We've been watching Brazil and waiting for rains.
Yeah, we continue to see rainfall increasing across center-west region. Not as much this week, it's more so into next week. So the start of October looks to feature a generally near normal rainfall totals across much of Mato Grosso, and that looks to be the start of the rainy season across that region.
And just as a reminder, most have been wondering whether this is late or not, and our meteorologists have said it's on time, but everybody else is thinking it's coming a little bit late.
Yeah, well, sometimes you can have rain activity here as early as September, but it ranges anywhere. You can have it as early as the first half of September. It can be delayed until the second half of October, even sometimes early November. But this kind of late Sept to early October timeframe, we feel that's normal, and that's why we're forecasting a normal, timely start.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
That, of course, is Mark Russo. He is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Monday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.